Hey, everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And I only make hamburger helper and frozen pizzas. So I don't know why you have such expectations of me for cooking in this house.
Jenny, literally, her plan for dinner was to peel one potato, boil it. That's where the plan ended. We don't know what happens after the boiling of said potato.
And then sort of mash it, maybe. She was peeling a single potato on what looked like a mini mandolin.
Like, if you were really that bad at cooking and you're in retirement, you have all the time in the world. I understand some people aren't interested in cooking, but it seems like she should be. And like, wouldn't you like pull up some YouTube videos, learn how to use a pressure cooker, make dal? It's very simple. I mean, you'd think that she would, being in India and just all of the amazing food she has access to in the markets and like spices and fresh food, wouldn't you put a little bit of effort, like a modicum of effort, into learning to cook?
Kim, I think we're missing the forest for the trees here. I have a question for you that we have asked a couple times and we have never gotten an answer. What in the fuck do these people do all day?
I don't know.
What does she do? Like, okay, forget submit working. Let's just say, like, COVID. Sure, you're home a lot. We all get that. We all remember that. What were they doing all day long? To which Jenny opines for the good old days where submit is sitting around all day.
I mean, we know they weren't fucking because he already tried to extend that to, you know, Kama Sutra yoga fucking, and she was like, no, that's too much time. I just want to bang and go to bed. So that's like 10 minutes out of the day. I mean, she's not cleaning.
All he wants to do is go to six classes and hang out with his friends and party.
Also, Jenny, what do you expect when you marry a 30-year-old? You think that he's going to want to sit around? And again, I know we've discussed this.
Sit around and do what? Sit around and do what, though?
I don't know. Are they staring at the wall? It doesn't even appear that they have a television. I literally don't. They don't read. I don't see Jenny as like a voracious reader.
They don't fucking read because they are wearing COVID lanyard cards.
They could be on Devin's mother's, you know, YouTube channel. I mean, that's where they're getting that from. But it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I would love to just like watch 24 hours of sped up footage of their day. I mean, it's like that place. I'm sorry. I'm judging. It's dirty. I'm team Mama Submit here. Their bedroom is a fucking disaster and they have clothes everywhere. And I'm like, where you don't go anywhere. Why do you have all these clothes? You need like two outfits.
I just want to understand what Jenny's idea of enjoying retirement means.
Yeah, they don't have, what are her hobbies? Like,
right. They don't have much money, but they have enough to go buy vegetables as long as you scream at people while you're doing it. and they don't, it doesn't even seem like they watch TV. They just make chai and sit around. What do they do? Oh, they don't cook. They don't,
they
certainly don't
the
clean.
Wall?
They don't go out and do stuff. She's nervous to go outside, which that's definitely at least partially Sumit's fault. But like, what the fuck are they doing?
Going on a walk? I literally don't know. It's not like she's not knitting. She's not even doing that crazy knitting that we saw. What was her name? Sandra and Inmate to Roommate. Like she's like just like playing with yarn all day. I mean, that could take hours of your day. That makes sense. She's not painting. She's not reading. She's not watching TV. She's not cooking. She's not cleaning. Are they staring at the wall?
So that's why it's. Look, I understand not wanting to be lonely all day, I guess, but I'm trying to think, like, why is she so desperate to have Submit around if they just, they sit at all and stare at the wall all day? I have a feeling they're not having a philosophical debate for 18 hours a day. It's just bizarre to me. I tell you, Kim, I think new champion of this season in terms of scenes was Jenny getting screamed at by the broccoli vendor. It was one of my favorite things I've ever seen on the show. It was great.
So great.
I absolutely loved it.
That broccoli vendor is the hero of the season. I wish I knew her name. She was screaming at Jenny. I loved the entire interaction. It was so freaking hilarious. I think it was absolutely the best scene of the season. I laughed so hard. I also laughed so hard about the fact that Sumit is a chef and still hasn't taught Jenny to cook anything and expects her to do the cooking. And that confuses me. Yara's opinion of, you know, being so happy to have European coffee instead of, quote, coffee from the swamp, unquote, was delightful as well.
My favorite part of the shopping scene was that Jenny somehow knows what broccoli is supposed to cost, but she's so ignorant that she thinks that you can put all the various vegetables in the same basket, right? That the fucking lady is about to weigh, so she knows how much to charge you. Just, all vegetables just cost the same, I guess, in India. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
ma'am, no! What are you doing? Ma'am!
What? Is this married life? Is this what married life is supposed to be?
Why doesn't Sumit hire her like a lady's maid to like help her around, I guess? I don't know. Jenny needs a friend, but she can't get any friends. Can't she make some foreign friends? Like, aren't there other old white ladies in India just staring at the wall all day that can go to the market with her? This is the thing. It is intimidating to go to an open air market like that and buy things in a foreign country.
Totally.
But she has lived there for 3 years. This is her home. Like,
and I love how she still just walks up to this poor man selling onions and potatoes and tomatoes and just starts barking at him in English. I mean, she's lucky that other lady spoke a couple words of English, but this guy just stares at her like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He tells her.
And she manages to, like, essentially tip the guy 70%, which is hilarious. And of course,
Didn't mean to. She didn't know.
Yeah. No,
that other lady was going to give her that huge bat. We disagree on this. I feel I would be pissed if somebody was trying to rip me off like that. That lady was ripping fuck off. Like,
no,
sorry.
You misinterpreted. We were texting about the broccoli debate, and I think you misinterpreted. Interestingly enough, from what I've read, just the entire internet doesn't think she was getting ripped off. But I agree with you that she actually totally was. There's no fucking way, that broccoli costs. So that lady was essentially charging her $7 a pound for broccoli. And there's just no way that that's what it costs in India. And I know that food in the United States is heavily subsidized. Heavily, heavily, heavily. But even after inflation, broccoli is still roughly, like, I looked on my Albertsons like website to verify this, and it's still $3 a pound. And it's not that I don't believe that broccoli might be more expensive a little bit because we subsidize things so much. I just don't believe a regular person buying vegetables from a cart in India can afford $7 a pound. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was just going to look up, like, what's the average salary in India? And it says, this is a quick Google search, $422 a month. There's just no way that if you're looking at, open air markets like that, people aren't paying Whole Foods prices for broccoli.
You're not going to pay 75% of a day's wages on broccoli.
But what's funny is that was like the bag that the woman was kind of like screaming after her to pay $12 for, or like basically 1,000 rupees.
$15.
Yeah. and she was like, no. Then she goes to this other guy, gets like half as much and pays half the amount the woman was charging her, which is $500. And she seems fine with that.
She's fine paying $500 for tomatoes and potatoes when because the woman, like the guy wasn't yelling at her, I guess.
But he only tried to charge her $300. $300 was still too much. And I will die on this hill. But like, he told her $300. She doesn't know enough to understand. So she just gives him $500, tells him to keep the change. And he's like, okay.
one of our Facebook members, Ashwini, made a really good point. She could have just, instead of saying, I want Indian prices, she could have said, okay, look, I get what you're trying to do, but my husband is Indian and he only gave me enough money for the dinner. Like, you could have been more clever about it to try to haggle.
Well, this is all her fault. Instead of just screaming,
I'm a white lady and you're ripping me off.
Like, of course she's going to like yell back at you, go fuck yourself, ma'am.
Any street vendor would probably do the same thing because like you see somebody that very clearly has no idea what they're doing. Like, yeah, you're going to try to put a little bit more on the top. But this is the thing. If Jenny were a real resident that in the last 3 years was learning how to go shopping by herself and Submit, I blame Submit for this partially too. She should have a vendor that she goes to. You've lived there for 3 years. You don't have a vegetable vendor. Like when I lived abroad, I went to the same vendor in the market every single time. They knew me.
How have they survived? Yeah, they're going to rip you off the first time.
But
Kim, how have they survived for 3 fucking years in this place?
I don't know how they're alive.
Are they eating? Are they eating like boxed like Rice-A-Roni for every fucking meal?
What are they doing? That's what she would like to do. She doesn't have access to Rice-A-Roni.
Like, you're telling me that you've never walked in 3 years, you've never gone even with Submit to buy a potato? Like, what are you eating all day?
I don't understand.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
I want to kick off this recap with Usman and Kimberly.
Oh, damn it.
Because we talked about Jenny and Submit so much in the intro. Okay. Like, let's get back to them.
That's fair.
Let's start with Usman and Kimberly. They were the second best. I mean, really, this entire episode was Usman and Kimberly, a little sprinkle of Jovi and Yara. And then the main course was Submit and Jenny. They had like 50% of the episode.
No, Andre and Libby go to Chick-fil-A and then have a super boring ultrasound. Like, we literally just covered their whole segment. That's it. Yeah.
Ultrasounds are very exciting when it's your child or somebody close to you. It is not fun to watch on television, and it never will be. And you'll never change my mind about that.
And the second kid, too. That's even less exciting. Who gives a shit about that?
That's like having a baby shower for your second kid. Ugh.
Oh, big fucking deal.
Usman and Kimberly, I just like wanted the sugar cane. Looked delicious.
Have you ever
had it?
Yeah, I haven't either.
I haven't. And I've always wanted to. And I was jealous. Kimberly didn't even want it. She's like, I don't want that. Get it out of my face. I was like, I will take it.
I'm sure he was charged $15 for that sugar cane.
Sir.
I don't know why I find it so funny that Usman determines that this one singular brother Farouk is the problem. So if we just go to Muhammad and have him convince mom, then everything will be fine. This will all blow over.
Just get rid of that. He's the problem. Get rid of that one element and everything is going to be fine. We gave her a cow. We're good to go. We're fine. We've been talking about, is he trolling Kimba Lee? Is this entire thing a joke? And, you know, we've never really waffled on that. But the end of this episode where he's like, yeah, let's go meet this potential first wife. He's trying so hard not to laugh.
Oh my God.
Because this is so fucking, this is so fucking absurd now.
I can't wait, though.
This is outrageous.
To meet the potential next week?
Oh my God.
Oh, I love it so much. It's because we know this isn't real. So we could just enjoy it. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be children that are whose father is living in the U.S. It's so ridiculous and hilarious to me.
If you think about your significant other and you just kind of think, if they broke up with me, that'd be totally cool because I'm the one sacrificing. And you would have no emotion about your partner breaking up with you. It should just be over immediately.
Yeah.
Just be done. Then you're not in love. He just keeps telling, Farouk and his mom, we're in love and she's a great person. And, you know, I could never have what I have with you, with this young, beautiful woman, cousin that I'm about to marry. Then you're full of shit if you claim that you would feel nothing. And if you're lying that you would feel nothing, then you're just an asshole. Because you're saying that to your partner's face.
Yeah. It doesn't line up at all. I mean, and honestly, this very first scene where Usman's buying the sugar cane at the market and Kimberly walks up to him and she's like, all right, let's work things out. His face says it all. He is so over this. He has no emotion.
Yeah.
He's like, Kimberly's like, you can't tell me you have 100 other women. And he's like, well, you were about to break up with me. What was I supposed to do? He's like, just trying to salvage his dignity here.
Pretty much. I mean, he's just looking at his phone the entire time, eating sugar cane on the side of the road.
I laughed at this. I'm sorry. I just don't really, I find it difficult to empathize with either of these two because this feels so fake to me. So I just laughed the whole time. Like Kimberly saying, I'm never going to let a man manipulate me or walk all over me again. And then 2 seconds later, we see her just completely being walked all over, agreeing to everything he wants, acquiescing to everything. And it's like, dude, do you even hear yourself? I mean, this is so ridiculous.
I won't let a man walk all over me and I won't let a Mayon manipulate me. Okay, well, you know, let's call Muhammad and exclude Farouk and let's just see what happens. Okay, teehee.
And I might have to marry my cousin. All right. She's going to agree to this.
She totally will. But no, I'm talking about if she's just like the hottest chick that Usman's ever seen. But I think what's going to happen is I think Kimba Lee is going to look at her and feel like, okay, I'm hotter than her. Like she's going to convince herself that she's more attractive. And then she's going to take it. She's going to be like, okay, I guess I could be such a wife.
And I just I hope when but she's watched herself back on all the other seasons and it doesn't seem to have sunk into her
totally
how pathetic she's acting.
And after, you know, what's interesting is during her first season with him, after almost every episode aired, she released this Instagram statement like, yeah, I didn't. That was bad, and I'm sorry, and that's not a good look. And she's doing almost all the exact same things.
She has no self-awareness.
No.
She literally hasn't changed her behavior. We have seen her. We've seen significantly less begging for sex.
Well, yeah, until the
in the last several episodes.
Because she's actually getting it, presumably. Although it looks on the preview complaining that she's not getting enough yammy. She's got double yammied and then nothing for the last week.
I thought she got double yammy. Anyway. Yeah, Usman tries to blame the second wife thing on his family, too. He's like, well, that was my family saying it, not me. And, you know, he wants her to smile more.
And please, for the love of Christ, stop talking. Just stop.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let's call Muhammad, though. Farouk, he's been too harsh. We can easily convince Muhammad. He's the elder brother anyway. I'm like, why hasn't he been involved if he's the elder brother?
Ultimately, mom is the decision maker, it seems like. But
has Muhammad just tapped out? He's like, I did this with BGL. I'm done here. I'm not doing this with another one.
This was producer driven. Him, Farouk showing up just to create drama.
It did. I was like, oh, I gasped a little. I was like, it's Farouk. I was like, well, how is this going to change then? Like they think that they're meeting Muhammad and the mom to have this talk. They go to a lovely bakery and restaurant called Marrakesh. I was like, this looks wonderful. I would love to sit outside on a Sunday at this lovely place and drink some coffee and eat whatever they have to offer. Looks way very relaxing.
Way better to have this conversation in public.
Why are they having it in public?
Usman is worried that Kimberly's going to start throwing things. But on the other hand, she's proven that she has no compunctions about throwing things at him in public. So,
she threw a milkshake at it. The last thing she threw was a milkshake at, like, in a public restaurant. So, yeah, I'm not sure. This seems like a bad idea. Usman just looks, again, like, completely unimpressed, doesn't take the lead, doesn't say anything. He does. I also, like, again, Jenny needs to watch some YouTube videos to figure out how to make doll. Kimberly needs to watch some YouTube videos about, like, how to cover your hair and how to arrange your own scarf. Like, what? This is a skill that can be learned.
Why does Usman, the whole head covering quick discussion didn't make any sense. I don't understand what happened at all. He wanted her to have her hair down because she wants her to look beautiful. And Kimberly, I think, understandably, is worried that she's going to appear disrespectful. I think
said she would be more comfortable. I'm like, why were you trying to cover her hair last time then? It seems like he just wants her chest covered.
Yeah.
Which is, you would think Kimberly would have thought of that one. But I guess they didn't have enough scarf to cover both the boobs and the hair, so they had to choose. Boobs were more offensive than hair, I think.
So
that's my take.
Mom, in this meeting, mom doesn't budge, but it was really funny that all you have to do to make Farouk like you is to just prove that you know another black person and that you've been in the army. That's all it took.
This was fascinating, I have to say. Like, mom shows up with Farouk, and I'm just like, how is this going to go any differently than it did the last time? They never explain why Farouk showed up instead of Muhammad. Never say a thing about it. Kimberly says, I'm surprised to see you. And then, you know, she starts showing Farouk pictures of her son. And mom and Farouk are like, oh, he's black. That's so cool. They're like genuinely excited. And then why didn't Usman say, oh, Kimberly, you should talk about your experience in the military, because Farouk was also in the military. That's why he's excited, right?
I suppose. Yeah. I mean, he strongly implies that he was in the, he doesn't come out and say it, but he strongly implies that he was in the military as well. And yeah, it's interesting how her having a mixed race kid gives her credibility to them right away when they're, whole argument for not having her around had nothing to do with anything. I mean, look, in the back of their head, I'm sure that they're not happy that she's white. They've pretty much said as much. But, you know, I think probably rightly, they only have brought up in the past that it's really just about that you can't have kids. And so it was interesting to, this scene was interesting because it was like, it made them like Kimbali, but mom, thankfully, ultimately didn't budge on her position, which is something we've like never seen before. We've never seen someone be like, you know what? I actually do like you now, but no, you're not getting married. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Usman's going to marry his cousin. You can go fuck off.
It was so great. I was so happy that because I was really worried that mom was going to totally just be like, yeah, it's fine. She sticks to her guns, and she's like, look, I wonder, you're a fine person. It's great that you were in the military. That's all wonderful. But, and your son is very handsome.
Yeah,
certainly. We all think this, we all know, but you know, he needs a young girl to produce grandchildren. And I want my son to meet one of my friend's daughters.
I have a girl right now. She said, we have a girl waiting who is a paternal cousin. She is at home ready to go.
Yeah, I thought mom said, the subtitles for mom said that it was one of her friend's daughters. But then when Usman explains to Kimbali, she says it's a paternal cousin. I wonder, like, how many times removed. You know what I mean? Because I feel like they probably have a very large extended family, so it's unclear. But Kimbali says no. And then Farouk just mic drops, and he's like, All right.
We're peace. Out. All right, we're done.
This feels like a deal breaker, you know? But I don't know if Farouk just expects Kimbali to break him down slowly. That's kind of what it feels. Because he wasn't mean to her this time. He didn't even dismiss her immediately. I mean, they came to the meeting.
Yeah.
Why would you come to the meeting?
Farouk, I feel like it. Look, unless this was completely producer driven, my assumption was that Farouk got wind that this meeting was happening and then convinced mom to take him instead because he was worried that Muhammad would try to convince mom that all this was cool. And so I'm going to let me go with you because I'll be the hard ass that won't let you be manipulated by more cows and goats, etc. And yeah. And so I have a question for you. Did I miss something or was there a mistranslation? Because at no point did I understand Farouk and mom asking Kimbali to meet this girl. I only heard that they wanted Usman to meet her. And so
And so
when Usman is like, yeah, you're gonna meet her, I thought that was fucking hysterical because that sounded like it was lost in translation.
It feels like Usman is just like, we have to bring Kimbali along because I know how to make a TV show funny and this is how to do it.
Totally. Yeah.
And so because this scene is only going to be funny if Kimberly's there.
Right. She's going to be.
If it's just us, man, like, whatever.
She's going to be so smoking hot.
I can't wait for it, honestly. I think it's going to be really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for this poor girl, but honestly, she might be in on the joke.
No, they this might is just total be like, bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably like, hey, you want to be on an American TV show? And she's like, yeah, sure. Like, what the hell? You know? If I would have been asked that as like a 18 or 19 year old, I would have thought it would be like really fun and hilarious, you know? So she probably just thinks it's like, why not? Did we miss anything? I mean, just.
No.
That's, I guess, it. let's go. Let's do quickly Jovi and Yara.
I guess there's some stuff to talk about here. I mean, basically, Yara's going exploring with Mila and mom. Jovi's just pretending to work. what are you talking about? I'm going to work. Shut up. Oh, you don't. God, yeah. You work on boats. Talking about. You drink swamp water and you work on a boat, Jovi.
I mean, I'm with Yara. I would be all, she's over this coffee from the swamp. I do agree. The coffee in Europe is just better, like, consistently. This just looks like a delightful day to me as well. Like, walking around the city of Prague with your delicious coffee, with your mom, just window shopping, looking around. I love this.
I grew up on just, you know, hate on it all you want. I understand. And I don't really drink it anymore either. But I grew up on Starbucks style, super strong drip coffee.
Yeah.
And like when I make my own coffee, if I pour it and if I can see through that shit, it's not nearly strong enough. It has to be fucking sludge. And when I go to Europe and I drink, you know, espresso or their style of coffee, it just doesn't, I can tell, yes, this tastes delicious, but I need a giant fucking absurd 32-ounce drip coffee to even be functional every morning. So it just doesn't do it for me there. I'm always tired when I'm in Europe because I can't get the caffeine that I operate on normally here. Yeah,
they won't do a triple shot, you know.
No, whatever. They'll look at me like I'm insane. Or it'll cost $40.
I do like it is such a difference between like a European and an American mindset that we just want like quantity and they just want like a small amount of a high quality item.
I want both is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, how could you not love walking around Prague when you've been living in not even New Orleans? She does not live in New Orleans. She lives in
somewhere.
A suburb of the swamp.
I mean, it looks wonderful. It's been a long time since I've been to Prague, but it's a gorgeous place. I'm very, very confused about her mom's state of the union. Like, what? Where does mom live? Does mom live in Prague? Does she live outside of Prague? Did she just used to live in Prague?
She currently lives there.
No, but her mom said, this might be mistranslation from the subtitles. Her mom said, when I lived here for many years, it made it sound like she didn't live there anymore.
I think she lives there, but you're right. She might live farther out from the center of the city, which is, you know, more expensive. And yeah,
I just am confused about like what, why did her mom move to Prague? When did she move there? Does she speak Czech? Where are her friends? What is her life? Like, who does she hang out with all day? Does she work or is she like just hanging out there? Is she retired? Because she talks about it like, hey, Yara, come to Prague and I'll watch your kid all day. Well,
I assume that she doesn't work. Yeah,
I see. Okay. We don't know anything about Yara's dad, do we?
No. I mean, look, mom's very blunt. She's like the total opposite of Gwen, which is just really funny. It's like the Southern hospitality, never really say what you feel versus nope. You and Joey should just move here immediately. I'll watch your children and you'll have a happy life here. And that's just the way it is. It's just so fucking Ukrainian. It's hilarious. I don't think that mom is being nefarious. It's the exact opposite. She's like, no, you'll be happy here. You should just move. Why are you in swamp?
Yeah. So if the drama that they're trying to buttress here is, oh, my mom is going to take me to look at apartments in Prague. And I just assumed, oh, they're going to go look at renting an apartment. Like this, we've seen this a million times on this show. This is a nothing burger. But then Yara mentions she wants to buy an apartment.
That's a whole different thing. And just as dumb, I guess. But
why
for a different reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about this first. But before we get to that, I just want to say, fuck you, Jovi, for shitting on that beautiful looking breakfast. And just what are you talking about? That looks so fucking good.
What is this? I'm like, it's this? Clearly eggs.
Give me champagne. What are you talking about?
What are you doing here? In those croissants? And
the European croissants? Shut up, Jovi.
I hate them.
Okay, so let's talk about this apartment thing. First of all, I don't think that the concept is crazy. Because Jovi's gone half the year.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you get to the practical levels of it, it becomes pretty dumb, and if not just impossible to actually do. Yeah. But the idea of spending time alone in Covington, Louisiana versus Prague for a European, I think you would be nuts to not think that's attractive, right? When you're gone half the time.
Yeah. I'm confused. It would make so much more sense if this was positioned as, hey, you know, my mom has lived here for 20 years. She's never owned a place. I would love to come stay with her for extended periods of time. So I'm going to buy my mom an apartment here and like with a spare bedroom so Myla and I can come stay for a long time when you're gone for work. That would make so much more sense. Instead, she's acting like she's going to buy this own apartment with her money that she's
making.
And
her mom's going to rent down the street her own thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And she also implies that she has like tons of money saved up from her makeup business. And I'm like, really? You have enough money to pay for some place in Prague in cash? Like, I'm not familiar with the Czech real estate market, but I would assume Prague is somewhat expensive.
I Googled some listings, and you know, it's hard to tell if these are fake or not, but the prices look like, and I also don't know what neighborhood these are in at all, but yeah, you can get stuff for 300. You can get a condo for 350,000 euro, which is not completely crazy. I mean, it's,
no,
it looks about the same, maybe even cheaper than New Orleans, the nice parts of New Orleans, but I don't know what the taxes situation is there. Can you even buy a place if you're a foreign national? Ukraine's, you know, there's all sorts of complexity. And then you said cash, and we were talking about this, like, if she didn't pay cash, if she doesn't have $500,000 just sitting around in the bank, which presumably she doesn't, but if they have enough for a down payment, how do they even get a loan?
You don't. You can't get a loan. I mean, that's my understanding. I could be wrong, but I mean, I've looked into buying property in other countries before, and I know from people buying property in the United States, if you're not at least a resident, or I don't know if it's a citizen resident, I don't know how that works, but if you're just like a random person who lives in, you know, Weston Supermare and you want to buy a house in Albuquerque, you're not getting a bank loan for that, because how would they find you? You're not even a resident of this country. You have nothing to put up for collateral. They can't run your, you know, employment history. They can't look up anything about you because you don't have a social security number. You don't have like records in this country. So I'm just assuming, like, you know, when I looked into buying a house outside of the United States, it was like, yeah, you've got to have the cash.
Yeah, I agree with you generally that it would, well, at minimum it would be phenomenally harder. But yeah, I do wonder if they could get a U.S.-based loan under Jovi's name and put their current house up as collateral. But I don't know. Jovi would obviously have to agree to that. And it sounds like it's clear that it sounds like a very stupid idea to him. So even if you could do that, which I don't know if you could, I would be shocked if he agreed to it. But you're right.
They
can't
do that, though. They don't own a house. They rent.
Oh, I thought that they owned something.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But you make a really good point, which is, why didn't she just say, we're looking for places that are two bedroom for my mom so we can come visit whenever we want? And my mom, and she could have also even said, my mom will pay us some rent with her, you know, government money that she gets from Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a much less dramatic storyline, which is probably why it wasn't positioned that way. But
yeah, could even say that, you know, my mom is going to be the one that buys it and we'll just give her the money. Like, maybe you could have figured out some way around the whole loan issue. Have your mom get the loan and, you know.
If her mom's a resident, I mean.
I'll be a co-signer. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's some way you could have figured it out to have the mom be the owner. You still get money. And now, great. And now when, you know, she passes away, then you have an asset that you own in Europe. But no, it's like,
Jovi also calls it a random place. And like, that's like kind of offensive. Like, a random place. Her mom lives here. What are you talking about?
It's a dumb thing to say. You know.
Also, I'm very curious if she has friends in Prague. Like her mom, when her mom's like, oh, it would be so much better for her if she were just here because I would watch Mila and she could pursue her interests and her hobbies and hang out with her friends. And I'm like, does she have friends there? Like, who is she hanging out with?
Yeah. Presumably, it would be easier for her to make friends, Ukrainian friends in Prague than
that's true.
Any friends in any way in Covington. Yeah.
True. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you want to talk finally? Been waiting this whole time to use your chicken again, haven't you?
Finally.
What do you expect me to do?
Learn how to cook? What are you doing all day? Their fridge looks like the fridge from Fight Club. There's two bottles of sparkling water in it and like a box of baking soda. That's it.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, look, again, we're going to repeat some of the stuff we said in the intro, but like going grocery shopping in a foreign country is very intimidating at first, like not knowing where to put things, not knowing how much things cost, how does it work. But Jenny has been living in India for 3 freaking years. I think she said 3 or 4 years. So I think it's somewhere in between.
I think it's 3.5
to 4 years. Yeah. And like, I don't understand why the shopping isn't a routine by now. Like, what if Sumit were sick? They just starve until he's better?
How did they survive during? Are they literally just going to the bodega and getting pre-made box meals?
I don't think they have those there because Jenny said, she's like, in America, this infuriated me. So I'm going to rant about this for a minute. In America, I just cooked simple things, you know, a box meal, and then I'd add meat to it and stir it up.
So hamburger helper.
Not cooking. That's
literally
not
hamburger
cooking.
Helper. Yeah.
Putting a frozen pizza in the oven is not cooking. I will die on this hill. That is not cooking. Jenny, stop it. As Sumit said, making a dough, making a sauce, that counts. But putting a frozen pizza in the oven is not cooking.
Those are not s'mores, you fucking idiot.
Those were not s'mores.
If that's confusing,
digestive biscuit.
Ugh. You have to watch Great British Bake Off. Yeah, it's look, it's clearly not cooking. If you're being generous, you could say I've prepared meals before, right?
Yes.
But that's not cooking. And let's talk about the job thing for a second.
Okay.
Can't you find a different business where you don't have to work so hard?
Really? Sumit knows how to do two things. He knows how to fucking pretend to be another human being while doing tech support. And he knows how to be a line cook. He's not a chef. He knows how to cook the things that are on the menu. And his friend has already taught him how to cook them. So basically, he knows how to just follow orders. I don't know if he knows how to cook. He knows how to follow Rohit's recipes, right? Calling him a chef is an insult also. But
it is to chefs.
But like, he knows how to be in the same room with Rohit, dirt cooking a few select things. That's it. So
can't you find a different business?
Can't you find a different fucking husband and live in a different country? What a stupid question to ask. It's so infuriating.
I mean, he could go back to the call center and that's going to be, it might be a 6-day work week there too and long hours. I think that
it's going to be
working with your
hours.
Friend is you're working with your buddy Rohit. Like, I think I am not super familiar with Indian culture and I've never, lived in India, but I would assume, and I'm making an assumption here, that the social aspect of this job is part of the job and it's what makes it attractive to submit. He wants to hang out with his bros and, and maybe it's expected that you in a lot of places, it's expected that you kind of go out socially with your coworkers and build those relationships after work.
The horror of talking to other humans. God.
I mean,
you're
don't like to
leave me alone drunk. You're going to come home drunk. And I remember.
Make some goddamn friends, Jenny. That's what does Jenny think that once you reach the age of retirement, you disown everyone else in your life and you just drink chai with your spouse and you never interact with anyone else?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like she feels ostracized in India. And so she thinks that's just their life, I guess. But I do understand if he's going to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, that would be rough. Because they
totally. Yeah.
They won't be able to see each other at all.
No, there's certainly a balance, right?
Yeah.
But that's in any relationship.
But I don't know if he has that option. Like, I don't know what his employment options are. Maybe working 6 to 7 days a week, 12-hour shifts. Maybe that's what it is. I'm looking at this through an American lens. Like, maybe as a line cook in India, you don't do an 8-hour shift. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the question really would be, can Rohit hire another person part-time to fill in when Sumit's not there? And the answer is probably like, well, who's only going to work 2 days a week?
Yeah. If everybody's job is 6 days a week working as a standard work week, who's going to work 2 days?
Nobody wants to work anymore.
Why is Sumit saying that he's a partner in this business? I kind of have a hard time believing that he invested anything. It just seems like he's
very, I was confused about that.
I mean, if he invested money into this business, if he is partial owner of like maybe the kitchen equipment or the inventory, or he helps Rohit pay rent, I feel like this is a very, very different conversation. But he doesn't really, like, the way that he explains this to Jenny makes it seem like he's just an hourly worker. So I don't understand how this works at all. But in ITMs, he claims he's a partner in the business. Okay.
I mean, does that just mean he's getting paid less until it's profitable and he has equity? Like, yeah, that's a totally different conversation. That's also like a different type of decision that you would talk about with your spouse if they've invested money. It does sound like this is also suspicious. They started this a couple of months before COVID hit. And so they were doing this in January, February of 2020. Then COVID started and they had to shut it down. So he's just now getting back to it 2.5 years later. Makes sense. Happened to a lot of people.
It doesn't make sense at all if it's a delivery kitchen.
Oh, that's very true. But Jenny,
maybe it was a restaurant before and now it's a delivery kitchen. But if it was always a delivery kitchen, that's even more bizarre. But go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, the point I was going to make is that Jenny and Sumit would have had this conversation in January of 2020 then.
Yeah.
Like when he was going to go back to work. Like not now. This already started almost 3 years ago.
Right. None of this makes any sense.
Yeah. So I want to know Rohit's situation. Is he married? Like, is he working 12 hours a day? Also, this is just an aside. I wonder if they don't ever go grocery shopping because they're just like ordering takeout or street food is like so cheap. Maybe they're just buying already, you know, prepared food on the reg. And like, that's easier.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Do they always get takeout or do they certainly have semi-prepared stuff like the equivalent of Rice-A-Roni, you know?
Right.
And whenever we've seen them in the shopping, we've only seen them in kind of like what looks sort of like a 7-Eleven buying boxes of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder if they're just doing prep type stuff instead of actual cooking. The only time we've seen her cooking is when mom's there and she is a bumbling idiot doing that too.
Even though we learn mom doesn't cook because she is a maid. That will never be unfunny to me. Oh my God, great. It's the best. I mean, Sumit just seems really excited to get back to a routine, being productive, socializing, having a friend, maybe more than one. Who knows what could happen? You know, he's really excited about this. And Rohit makes a good point. He's like, all of the excuses that you give me is like what Jenny wants. What about what you want? Like, what do you want? And this is when they talk about kids and going to America. And I'm so confused. He says, Rohit, he freaks him out. He's like, are you willing to leave your parents and go to America? And Smith's like, absolutely not. But I might have kids. Rohit's like, he has never talked about having kids. This is shocking information.
Yeah. He's thinking about adopting or surrogacy. Essentially, again, like he said, straight up, he's saying this because he thinks that this is a vector to win his parents' affection back.
Yeah.
Not because he wants to actually love the child or no. thinks that it'll have a good life in this situation that they're creating. God.
It's rough. If Sumit will adopt a kid, I don't know if that will resolve things or make them more complicated. Yes, Rohit. Great insight. I'm going to guess the latter.
I feel like at some point he's going to bring up this possibility to his mom.
Yes.
And I can't imagine her reaction is going to be anything but, well, okay, but Jenny would raise this child. So no, this does not spark joy.
It does not solve the root problem.
That you're with an oldie. Yeah.
So I was surprised though when Sumit came home from his first day of work, like Jenny's super happy to see him.
She's peeling a single potato.
he even says, you peeled one potato? Like that's it?
And by the way, apparently going to the vegetable market apparently took the entire fucking day.
Apparently.
If this is married life, I want to be back in America.
Yeah, because Sumit wouldn't have to work hard in America at all.
No, so easy. Mm-hmm. Sumit is super impressed with her shopping, though. She got spices all by herself.
Wow.
Jenny's plan for dinner is peel this single potato, boil it, and then the plan stops. We don't know what we're doing from there. But Sumit really anticipated this outcome because he's already brought dinner, so...
It looked like she peeled that potato on a fucking cheese grater.
It
made my soul hurt. She's going to lose all of her fingerprints. Like she's going to rip the tips of her fingers off doing this. It's horrifying. And yeah, he brings home what looks to be a delicious Indian doner kebab looking sandwich I want to eat. I want to eat it right now. And if, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. If you're going to work at a restaurant, just bring home a sandwich every night. Stop torturing Jenny. Yes, she should learn to cook something, but you know, you're bringing home food at cost. It's got to be the cheapest sandwich you could get.
Totally.
So on the one hand, Jenny should learn how to fucking cook a potato. On the other hand, yeah, bring home a sandwich, dude. Let's just give up. Just throw in the towel, man.
I'm just thinking, if I were like really trying hard to put together a meal and I didn't have a whole lot going.
One potato.
Is a potato your go-to?
One potato.
My potato would be like, make some rice or some pasta and like
pasta,
put a sauce on it with some, you know, I would chop up some onion and don't know, carrots, whatever vegetables I had, and just saute it a bit. Like, that's like a
throw-it-together
meal.
Ultra low effort, pull it together meal is, yeah, boil some spaghetti and put just red sauce from the market on it. And
right.
Yeah. But yeah, a single potato, and like you don't know how to even make like lentils.
Like nothing?
Which is essentially just pasta. You can boil, you know.
I know. I learned how to make lentils when I was like 18. And, you know, then you saute onion with some tomato and some cumin and you throw it together. There's a meal. Pop an egg on it if you want some more protein. Like, I don't know. It just.
You're going to hang out with your friends? I don't know. I'm going to be here all alone. And you're not going to hang with your new wife. Your new wife, Jenny.
We need to go back to the beginning, though. I'm sorry, Kyle. We need to go back to the 80s rap music that they're playing while Sumit is blow drying his hair into a tower. And, you know, he's getting ready for work. I understand. He's got to look good. But.
Do you need to look good when you're in a delivery kitchen with your best friend that you've known your entire life?
Kyle, that is a big deal to him. He has not been outside of this apartment or apart from Jenny for longer than 3 minutes in like 2.5 years. He's very excited.
Good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
I do enjoy Sumit's Bollywood haircuts.
Hairstylings. The music was just confusing to me. Sumit asking Jenny or like pepping Jenny up to go on the shopping trip by herself is almost as funny as the broccoli vendor. Almost. Like, he's like, you can do it. You're brave. I believe in you. I'm like, why is this necessary?
I never expected to go roam around by myself.
What? You didn't?
Crazy.
The thing, she's right that obviously she's gonna garner quite a bit more attention.
Yeah.
But which is understandable. But first of all, you've chosen to live there. Again, this is a little bit on this is a big part on Sumit for not kind of conditioning her, getting her used to this, encouraging her to be more independent. Just the fact that you said, I never expected to roam around. Like, you never expected to, like, leave your fucking apartment? The other thing I would imagine a good proportion of this attention that she's getting when she wanders around is due to the fact that there's a fucking camera crew following her.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
and she looks clueless. She doesn't have any confidence.
Right. No, she doesn't speak one word. Of, I presume, Hindi. I could be wrong. But she doesn't speak any of the language. She just starts getting into shouting matches with broccoli vendors.
Well, to be fair, I think the broccoli vendor started the yelling.
Which was fucking hilarious. Ma'am!
This broccoli vendor, she's like, can I put it in the same? No!
Which, look, to be fair, that's really fucking stupid of her.
Yeah,
but she does go 0 to 60, and I did find that super fucking entertaining. This was so funny to me.
I laughed so hard, and she's like, "You can't just get a half kilo; you need to get a full kilo."
Too high. This is too high.
I just, yeah, as our Facebook member Ashwini said, she just, I love that she just leaves with a puff of feathers behind her.
Hello, lovely listeners. Are you sad that this podcast is just about over? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about this trashy trash garbage show for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed, either via Patreon or our 30-second sign up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, almost 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip and are currently covering Love is Blind Season 3, Love During Lockup Season something, and Single Life. You'll also get full access to our complete archived podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? It's the holiday season. You should treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com.
Well, this was fun. I mean, overall, a funny episode because the best scene of the entire season with the vegetable vendor. Thank you, broccoli vendor in India, for making your cameo. It was so much appreciated. Yeah, I guess we're assuming we have two more episodes of the season.
At
no news of a new season, so.
I know. We usually get it fairly late, but it's got to be around the corner. Let's all cross our fingers for before the 90.
Crossing those fingers. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.